This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Friday the 13th, October 13th, 2017. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel.
Markets have been trading in positive territory all morning and into the afternoon now. Let's get the latest from Elisa Parenti of Bloomberg.
We're seeing those gains grow here, Rob and Chris. Right now, the Dow higher by 47 points to 22,888. NASDAQ is up 23 points, S&P higher by 6. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up 0.3%. Healthcare stocks are holding the averages back. Investors see risks to insurance companies and hospitals after President Trump announced cuts to cost-sharing subsidies paid to insurers that are participating in the Obamacare exchanges. Now, these lower the premiums for those who don't qualify for income-based subsidies, so those stocks are under pressure. The University of Michigan posted its strongest consumer confidence report in 13 years. Elements of that index include the highest opinions of current finances in 17 years. It helps that gas prices have pulled back since a hurricane-related spike, and that the stock market has, of course, as we mentioned, repeatedly reached new highs. The hurricanes made the cost of living go up for everyone. The spike in gas prices led the consumer price index to an 8-month high. Retail sales also saw a rise due to the hurricanes. People were replacing damaged cars, repairing damaged homes, and paying more to refuel at gas stations. So again, since President Trump has been talking about the Iran situation and sanctions on that country, we're seeing some of the biggest gains of the day. New averages across the board, new highs for all three main averages. Back to you.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're taking a look at what looks like pretty encouraging economic data out today. And just how much would it cost to see the Cubs play in Chicago next week? And how do you get that ticket?
It's Entrepreneur Friday. We will talk to a person who started a business that will help med students with their studies as they try to become doctors. And then you heard that they talked about it during the CBS Hourly Newscast. We'll go in depth on the story about Facebook allowing you to order food through the social media app. We'll have all that. The Dow is up 47 points, the S&P 500 up 6, and the NASDAQ is up 23.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Business inventories post their largest gains in 9 months, while consumer sentiment hits its highest level since the year 2004. And we are joined by Jim Key, President and Chief Economist at South Texas Money Management in San Antonio. Welcome to our program, Jim.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.
This sounds very encouraging. As an economist, is it?
You know, it is. Normally, monthly data, can have a lot of head fakes, but the data seems to be pointing in the same direction, and that is for continued expansion. With business inventories, like most data, you can have a inventory growth that's positive or that's negative. Negative means that businesses build inventories or goods and services that they can't sell. A positive, which seems to be the case here, is that they're anticipating better sales going forward, and that's why you're seeing the inventory growth. So I'd say it's a bullish inventory build that's corroborated by strong or good retail sales and consumer sentiment data.
When we see consumer sentiment going up, does that mean that we're going to be seeing more retail sales, for instance?
Sentiment is typically yes. There have been some notorious head fakes in the wrong directions with sentiment, but usually it follows really poor sentiment readings. In other words, you've had big bounces in retail sales a few times when sentiment was historically low. But a strong one like today, just if you look at the sentiment indicators over the last 6 months or so, it's basically a no-worry signal. So a lot of optimism, I would say. Some think that that's because the market's been so strong, but I think they're both saying the same thing. They're both saying that things, continued expansion.
The recovery over the past 8 years has been so slow and so gradual that when things begin to decelerate, will the descent be as gentle?
Well, that's a good question. The way I would look at it is that downturns or recessions are caused by economic shocks pretty much out of the blue. And when you're growing at a lower rate, it takes a smaller shock to dislocate things and get a recession. So I'd say a 1-2% growth economy is less resilient than a 3-4% growth economy. That's kind of the way I would look at it. But right now we're growing north of 2%. I think the GDP data, the Atlanta Fed nowcasting type models and others are actually showing acceleration through the quarter, which is something that we haven't really seen. So I think we're still at a decent growth path in the U.S., maybe accelerating a little bit, and that would match the world. And this is the first year since the expansion began in 2009 that global data has come in a little bit stronger than was expected at the beginning of the year.
Thanks a lot, Jim Key, President and Chief Economist, South Texas Money Management, based in San Antonio. Coming up, how much you might wind up paying for Cubs resale tickets and where to find the best ones.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:20. The score wasn't the only thing taking some wild swings last night in Game 5 of the National League Division Series between the Cubs and the Nationals. So were the ticket resale values for the National League Championship Series if the Cubs were to move on. Joining us now is Sean Pate, Vice President of the Game Time mobile ticketing app. Sean, welcome to the program. Let's talk about how much the NLCS tickets are going for on the secondary market. Is it still as hot and heavy compared to last year now that the Cubs are World Series champs and no longer struggling to scratch a century-long itch?
Yeah, Rob, well, you know, absolutely it is. And again, you know, the good news is if you missed any of it last year, you've got the chance to see it all again. I think some of the not-so-good news is the price is going to be just about the same. And so what we've seen over the last 24 hours as the Cubs clinched last night is prices are about averaging really what they were last year. $300 for the first couple of games is the average price people have paid so far on Game Time. You know, the good news is the series has shifted a little bit in terms of structure this year with the Dodgers hosting first and the Cubs coming back next week. So there's time for the market to kind of change a little bit. And with three games clustered together on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, a lot of those Cubs fans to choose from.
And was there a spike in the price of NLCS tickets, even the Game 1, the away tickets, as West Coast Cub fans decided, hey, wait a minute, they might be playing a playoff game in my backyard?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good observation. So Dodgers is one of our strongest markets, and LA fans are using Game Time quite a bit. And those fans aren't having to pay quite as much. They're about $150 on average right now. And the opportunity normally for a Cub fan who might want to travel out to another market to get a better deal is certainly there. But with those games starting tomorrow, that's a quick turn. So, you know, one of the things that we advise typically on Game Time is to really wait and see how the market shifts, buy at the last minute for your best value. But we talked on Monday, and for that game, there was very little selection in the hours before the game. So one of the things I advise is that people shop sooner than later, and when they find a deal they feel is good, pull the trigger, because that inventory is rich right now as we look at games into next week, but it's going to start to dwindle over the weekend, and in the hours before will be a little bit scarce.
For instance, what would be a good deal right now?
Well, there are, you know, if you have a good pair of shoes and a good back, the standing room only tickets we saw were under $150 for the division series. And those are about the $200 price point right now. And you can get to various points of the ballpark. So that's one thing that I recommend to fans if they feel like they don't need to have a seat. But it is going to cost you about $250 to have a seat. And I don't see that dipping too much unless, for instance, the Cubs were down 3-0. And, you know, for Wednesday's or Thursday's game. And that could be a scenario where prices do dip. And we saw that in 2015 with the Mets.
Sean, thanks for all the great information. Sean Pate is vice president of Game Time mobile ticketing app. And coming up, Bloomberg checks the markets for us.
Here's Lisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Well, we have gains across the board with some fresh highs for the three main averages. The Dow up 52 points, closing in on 22,900. NASDAQ up more than a third of a percent or 23 points at 66.15. And the S&P advancing 6 points or a quarter percent at 25.57. That's only 2 points above its highest ever close, but still a new record. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining a third of a percent. We are seeing some gains for crude oil futures. They've been all over the place this week, right now at $51.11 a barrel. We've got a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had higher prices pretty much all day long. Limited farmer selling and fund buying, holding corn, beans, and wheat all higher. At the moment, December corn up 3.25 at 3.52 1/4, half off its high. Beans have been up 8.5 at the moment. They're up 7.75 at 19.99 3/4. They hit $10.50. And wheat's up 5.5 at 4.36. Higher across the board on fund buying and lack of farmer selling. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
And we are discussing markets with Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Vahan.
Thank you, Chris.
We are looking at markets with record highs again today. All of this growth in the markets, does that make you feel a little nervous or confident?
It makes me feel very nervous. I'm looking at what's going on, and I think there are lots of reasons to be a little concerned. I mean, I think, first of all, I think valuations are very stretched on average. It's difficult to argue that the market is cheap, especially if you look at things like price-to-earnings multiples based on GAAP earnings rather than operating earnings. So we have a bit of an overvalued market, although there are pockets that I think are undervalued and still invested, worth investing in. We're about to enter the heart of earnings season, and if we have one of the big so-called FANG stocks report something very disappointing, that could have bigger repercussions for the entire market. We have a Federal Reserve that's now in tightening mode. I'm not too concerned about them being too aggressive. I think they're being careful, but in general, we're going to see higher interest rates, at least at the short end of the curve. And I think the biggest risk of all right now is tax reform. And the big risk is that it doesn't get done. I think to a large extent, the expectation for tax reform is priced into the market. And if we find out that Congress and the White House are unable to get together on something that is meaningful, we could see a sell-off in the market.
So what's your advice to investors?
Well, it's the same advice I always give investors. You should always be in the market. You should never be completely out of the market. But you should also have a diversified portfolio. You should focus on your asset allocation. It doesn't mean you have to invest everything in stocks. There are other asset classes you should also consider. But as far as stocks go, I think there are areas that still make sense to invest in. Two of my favorite sectors right now are energy and financials. I think these are relatively low valuations. And first of all, I do expect oil prices to rise to about $60 per barrel, so that bodes well for the energy stocks. And I also expect interest rates to climb up a little bit, and that bodes well for the financials.
Let's talk about the price of oil and also the healthcare sector because of a couple of external factors. President Trump just wrapped up a statement, not exactly walking away from the nuclear deal with Iran that was reached in 2015, but he says decertifying it and leaving open the possibility of ramping up sanctions on Iran. And then the executive order yesterday that does away with the subsidies that help insurance companies that are participating in the Affordable Care Act. How does the Iran situation affect the price of oil, and how does the uncertainty in the insurance markets, how does that affect healthcare stocks?
Well, I mean, in general, the first thing I would say is that we've had a lot of events that you would think would have affected various sectors or stock prices as a whole, and they haven't. You know, for example, we now have concerns about nuclear proliferation. We know what North Korea is doing. We don't know what Iran will do now that Trump has decided to no longer certify them. We've had massive hurricanes that have caused tremendous damage and disrupted the economy. We've also had a massacre in Las Vegas. Yet the market has completely overlooked all these things. It hasn't reacted at all. So will it react to healthcare issues? And will it react to these latest sanctions on Iran? I don't know. As far as the oil markets go, if we don't buy Iranian oil, somebody else will. So the world supply will probably not be affected much.
Thanks a lot. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management, based in Greenwich, Connecticut. Coming up, Entrepreneur Friday, and we'll tell you about a new high-tech way for med students to study. Markets are trading in positive territory right now. The Dow is up 47 points, the S&P 500 up 6, and the NASDAQ is up 23. WBBM News Time, 12:39.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
This is Entrepreneur Friday, and we are talking about an online platform that medical students can use to enhance their studies. It's been up for a few years. Joining us is Jamie Fitch, co-founder and CEO of Online MedEd in Austin, Texas. Welcome to our program, Jamie.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Explain, if you can, your business model to us, including the free content.
Yeah, you know, let's start kind of what it is, right? And so it's a clinical learning platform for medical and healthcare students. It's equal parts education, technology, and research methodology. Have you ever picked up a textbook and just felt it in your hand and you kind of ask, why does it weigh so much? You know, I'd argue it's really because the publisher wants to charge $100+. The fact is the brain can't memorize everything, nor should it. So we've kind of taken a step back, looked at the whole learning experience and streamlined it. So everyone, including healthcare professionals, Googles. Rather than trying to memorize everything, we focus on foundational frameworks and algorithms of learning to make it more effective and efficient. Our content is aware that you know, we have computer and AI assistants in the world that we live in. And so from there, we use technology to adapt and customize the experience and to also ensure that there's a plan to engaging and keeping up with the learning. And then we have a robust data and research engine, which helps us understand user interactions, tendencies, and what the user still needs to improve on so that they can learn what they need to learn.
Jamie, are students your main audience here, and how do you make money?
Yeah, so we've been very blessed, and so we have over 100,000 registered healthcare professionals using the site, and those are students. So we do have a B2C business model. And then we also have a dozen plus institutions that pay us outright to integrate what we do into their core strategy. And what's cool about the platform is we give away our most valuable content for free. We really believe in providing a baseline that's standardized to everybody, both here and abroad. And then so we're able to get about 80% of the market share. And not everybody's paying us, obviously. But then we offer a supplemental curriculum that kind of goes with what we've already done and can build on it and give you a comprehensive learning experience. And that's what users pay for.
Now, do you just simply work with individual med students as they find the site, or do you have relationships with particular schools or hospitals?
So, I mean, we do a lot of, you know, marketing outwards to the students. The students can find us easily. It spreads via word of mouth. We've really grown to this point. I guess I hate to use the term, but we've been viral. Basically, students have looked to the people above them and say, hey, you look smart. Like, what did you use? And so that's helped. But yes, now we have really good relationships with a lot of schools because we have such a big user base. We can go to an institution and say, hey, we see that 70% of your students are using it anyways. We should have a conversation. And they're very open to doing so.
Thanks a lot and good luck, Jamie Fitch, co-founder and CEO of Online MedEd in Austin, Texas. Still to come, from Farmville to table, you can now go to Facebook for takeout food.
Discussing the news affecting your money.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, now you can order a meal without leaving Facebook. We're talking with Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group in New York. Shelley, once again, welcome back to the program. If I work for Grubhub today, should this announcement make me nervous?
I think this should make everybody at every delivery service that's not part of this very nervous. The service itself that Facebook has put out there is pretty interesting. You go to the Explore section of your Facebook environment, and you will see a bunch of restaurants right around you, and you just choose one. And they've made some deals with Chipotle and Delivery.com and a bunch of delivery services around you, and you're going to have a pretty decent ordering experience. I did it for lunch today, and tell you the truth, it was pretty quick and easy. If you're not one of the partners, you're probably not having a great day.
How does this work?
Well, you know, it works exactly like Seamless or Grubhub or any of the others. It's just coordinated through Facebook, which means it's just one more way Facebook's going to hold you inside of Facebook all of the time. Generally, you'll go to an outside app or an outside service to order your food. But like so many things Facebook is trying to do, they would much rather you stay right inside of Facebook. So they created an environment where you can order stuff, and it works exactly like you think it does. You just start the order. You go, you go to the Explore. You start. You click order food. It shows you a bunch of different types of cuisine right around you and restaurants right around you that are in the program. You press start order. The menu comes up, and it tells you who the partner is. Some of the ones by me were with Delivery.com. Others were with actually Grubhub. So it wasn't, and they gave you a choice. If a restaurant service by Delivery.com and by Grubhub, then you have the choice of which one you want to order from. So this is kind of an interface into some of the known delivery services. But, you know, look, everyone's going to get a little nervous here. Facebook is not getting in the food delivery business personally, like so many things. They're just facilitating food delivery. So I don't know if you get nervous if you're Grubhub so much as you kind of go, do I really need an app?
How's Amazon going to feel about this? Amazon kind of rules the world right now, but Facebook keeps coming up with stuff.
I think we're going to live inside of what everyone's lovingly calling FANG for a long time. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Each one of these organizations has a certain amount of a hold on us, right? Facebook knows kind of what we do every day. Google knows what we intend to do. Amazon knows what we consume. Netflix knows what we like. And so each of those has a data set, and we interact with that data set, and we help create that data set. So, you know, Amazon and Facebook and Google are going to go at it in the services business because that's what they do. And Amazon maybe has a little more reach in some cases. They try to do some content also. Facebook has a content play, but we all tend to find ourselves in these different environments, and each company is trying as hard as they can to hold us there. And this is just one more, you know, way that they can try to get it done. And honestly, look for more of this. Look, at some point, they would much rather you never go anywhere but Facebook.
And leave them.
Your Facebook. That's a perfect world.
Of course, you can read your posts as you're walking to pick up your food. Shelley, thanks for joining us. Shelley Palmer is CEO of the Palmer Group in New York. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we've got the replay podcast available shortly at cbschicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's get the latest on the markets from Elisa Parenti of Bloomberg.
Rob, a fresh round of records is in the making today. The Dow up 47 points, NASDAQ higher by 21, S&P adding 5. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is advancing 0.25%. Consumer sentiment jumped to a 13-year high last month. The increase was greater than any analyst had projected, and it shows several trends that people are feeling better about. One, gas prices falling after the hurricane-related spike, repeated records for the stock market, three, a 16-year low in unemployment, and then the fourth item, a post-storm recovery in efforts to drive a rebound in economic growth. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago. We continue to keep an eye on business and report at 25 and 55, 24 hours a day. From the MB Financial Bank Studios, MB means business. This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM.
Thanks for joining us for the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Be sure to listen to News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM throughout the day at 25 and 55 past the hour as we continue following the news that affects your money.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.